is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sharon Sarles. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, and we talk about all things overcoming all kinds of learning problems. We're standing with you moms, you educators, and believing that God wants total well-being for all children, and you're a child of God, too. So today I'm going to talk about one of the most important and pervasive issues in our society, and that's depression. I say our society because, newsflash, in less developed countries, they don't have this problem so much. Okay, we are talking about depression. So let's define our terms. That's a big deal. It gets talked about without defining terms. So the National Institute of Mental Health defines depression as a common but serious mood disorder. It causes severe symptoms. Now, wait a minute. So something is not right about your mood. It causes severe symptoms that affect how you feel, think, and handle daily activities such as sleeping, eating, working. To be diagnosed with depression, the symptoms must be present for at least 2 weeks. Now, this is a layman's definition, but surprisingly enough, most mental illnesses have definitions that are less than scientific. They're socially determined, specifically by the people who are in the American Psychological Association and publish the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, and they're about 7 criteria, and an adult has to get more of those criteria than a child does. And so that's one thing. Often children who are depressed are underdiagnosed, but adults are grossly overdiagnosed, and particularly by non-professionals. Okay, so we're talking about a mood disorder, not being sad. So if your husband of 60 years died, you'd be sad, really sad, for more than 2 weeks. That's not because you're depressed, because that's not a disorder. That's realistic. If you have been worked as a slave for 10 years for 20 hours a day, well, you'd be more than discouraged and depressed. You'd also have physical symptoms. And so if you presented in the same way, like you didn't want to get out of bed, that wouldn't be a disorder. So you were not going to call that depression. you might need treatment, but not for depression. And as much as I am frustrated with medical professions because they seem to suppress information and education, there is a real reason why they don't want non-professionals diagnosing. So, for instance, I'm teaching a conflict reduction class. We've got adults who are dealing with their conflict problems, and somebody who happens to work as a psychiatric nurse pops up and tells one particular person, but all the class, they just need to get on psychotropic drugs. No. If you've got social problems, you need to deal with your social problems. And newsflash, psychotropic drugs are not just happy pills. Unfortunately, or fortunately, there are happy pills. But, you know, just eating donuts is going to make you feel happy. Donuts and coffee, but that's probably not the best diet. Okay, so let's be sure that when we talk about feeling blue, that is not the same thing as depression. And it has become common now in modern parlance to talk about chemical imbalances. But if you thought in inappropriate ways, you could cause your hormones to be out of balance. Of course, it's possible you have a physiological problem. So let's leave all these diagnoses to the professionals. But I've also sat in supervision meetings in a therapy group, and I've heard them talk about all of the MDs in town and how they are pushing drugs inappropriately without talk therapy as an adjunct, because they're just throwing out these psychotropic drugs, which they've not been trained about. Doctors typically don't train on drugs. And even if the person is literally mentally ill from chemical imbalance, they still need to know how to manage life. And so the therapists are talking about, because this was a town small enough people knew one another, how these doctors were very inappropriately over-prescribing, one, and two, failing to ensure that these people got talk therapy as adjuncts. And it is similarly that therapists and psychologists are not trained in medicine and often over prescribe and maybe shouldn't even be prescribing. And my opinion is that the only person who should be, or the only profession who should be prescribing psychotropic drugs, are psychiatrists, people who have training both in medicine and in psychology. The law doesn't necessarily agree with me, but I think this is clearly the case. And then we can also talk about the high number of people who are whacked out because they've been having professionals play Russian roulette. Just, oh, let's try this. Oh, let's try that. Oh, let's try that. Because really, we have a very limited knowledge about these psychotropic drugs. Many people are irresponsible. But even the most responsible situation, the doctors are guessing. And there has to be some time frame for results, if they're going to be seen, to be seen. And so I personally just have happened to run across many people who have just been kind of zombied out by a cocktail. And even those people who maybe need psychotropic drugs, it's not a happy pill. I've seen people who are just flat affect because of antidepressants. So we have a lot to learn about them. And there needs to be a lot more responsibility. But having said all of that, laying aside that, let's just let the doctors and let's hold their feet to the fire that they are responsible about it. But let's leave that. And we should not be discussing any more than this, except to say they are vastly overprescribed. And many people are medicating themselves with substance, controlled or otherwise. So many people are taking alcohol and various drugs simply to self-medicate themselves, when really dealing with their problems would be more effective rather than causing more problems on top of their existing problems. Okay. But let's deal at the mom level, okay? Because we're moms. Let's deal at the mom level about how to deal with the kind of ongoing sadness or ongoing discouragement and possibly depression. Okay? We're not going to diagnose it. We know that there are these problems and we are facing, whether it's an over sadness. I mean, because sometimes you just have to be sad. Your husband dies. Fine. Lay down and cry for a week. Feel sad for a year. That's reasonable. Okay? But there are some things, like you lose your job and you might really allow yourself a week to be bummed. But after that, you got to get going, and you can't lay around and grieve for that for a year or two. That's not going to be effective. So those are obvious situations, but I think we need to get down and talk about life management, because I think we have been peppered, showered, inundated with bad advice, and we are not managing our lives correctly, and so this is inducing sadness, discouragement, depression. Inducing. Okay. So almost all of us have self-talk issues. And there is a whole branch of psychology that talks about self-talk. I would think that most of us in modern society have some physical problems. We're not eating correctly. We're inundated with light that's not full spectrum, and even more and more now that we have screens, we have SAD, the standard American diet. We may have seasonal affective disorder, two kinds of SAD, and we often don't have enough of the right kind of exercise. If we all go out and walk an hour in the sunlight, we probably would be a lot better off. Almost all of us have some selfishness problems, and so much of the advice is just plain wrong. Some of it, which came out of the variety of denominations of psychology. Okay, so let us admit that we have some long-term discouragement issues. We have been given certain expectations and may not have the skills to meet those. And some of those expectations may not even be realistic. So we can deal with that. And talk therapy might be helpful. The trouble with talk therapy is that the statistics show that people who have serious diagnoses 3 years later tend to be better, usually, unless they've been treated. And which means they've been in a mental hospital. And so the reason for that is because they have taken that label. So say somebody just completely, two women, let's make them twins. They just lose it, each in their own house. And one of them just becomes a bag lady and wanders around for 3 years. And after 3 years, she seems to reconnect with everybody and gets a better job and everything is fine. The other one goes to the mental hospital. She's torn out of her social fabric. And when she comes back, she thinks of herself as a mental patient. And her children aren't too sure about her. And she has to restart her friends. And so when she meets new friends, they may understand her to be a mental patient. And so when she has difficulties in life, so 3 years later, she's happy and she gets back to her house and begins her life again. But then 8 months later, just making this up, there is a problem because, newsflash, life presents us with problems. She thinks of herself as a mental patient, and so she allows herself to fall apart again. She allows herself to go back on drugs and back into the mental hospital, whereas the gal who doesn't see herself as a mental patient doesn't do that. So it's labeling. So the people who get treatment often are the ones who stay stuck in the mental illness and in that behavior. And so for this reason, I think it's doubly, trebly, quadruply important to talk about our self-talk and to deal with discouragement and sadness as such. And to admit that all of us may fight depression at some times. And that's okay, but let's fight it instead of succumb to it. Looks like I have more to talk about than I'm going to do in an episode. But let's press on in a logical fashion. So we have defined it, which was important. We've admitted that it's prevalent and overly prevalent in our society. People who are poor in India report that they're much more happy. Maybe that's because their expectations are very different. Maybe that's because they're living a more natural lifestyle, etc. But this is clearly in the studies. And so let's go on and talk about where some of this temptation to depression comes from our self-talk and some of the bad advice we have been given. And then it looks like it's going to be a next episode that I'm going to talk about a few ideas of what to do, how this relates to learning disabilities, some spiritual techniques. I might end up doing a third. I didn't know this was going to be a series until just now, but some spiritual techniques. so that we can be happier. And when we face discouragement, ongoing sadness, temptation to depression, we have management techniques. There will be some people who need to go to the doctor of whatever kind, psychiatric doctor, and get medications. But even in those few cases, they need to be doing all of this. We need to talk about life management, and we simply are not. The advice is coming out that's opposite to that. Okay, for instance, we all know now, because we've been saying it to ourselves like mantras for 40, 50 years, let's not be too hard on ourselves. What? Okay, maybe that was good advice in the 20s, the 30s, in the World War II generation. But today, people are not too hard on themselves. Another thing that came out real popular in the 80s, and now it's becoming common advice, is get rid of the shoulds. Don't should on yourself. Like, really? Really? In what form of life is that a good idea? That you should not find out the best way of managing best practices. So do you go to your office and say, okay, there are no rules here? Ridiculous. Okay. Do you, and don't judge me. So if somebody gives you a good idea, you insulate yourself from learning those better ideas by saying, don't judge me, don't preach to me. What? These are terrible ideas. So since I have embarked upon that, let me tell you the story that I saw on television yesterday. It was an episode of Blue Bloods, and I'm not promoting television watching or... but anyway, it's a show about a family who are all involved, a multi-generational family who are involved in law enforcement in New York, I think. Anyway, and so the father is the police commissioner, and one of his top-level staff that he works with on a daily basis. Now, I understand that his father and his children and grandchildren are all working in law enforcement, and his best bud co-worker comes and says, would you pull strings to get my kid, he's been arrested, and get him off. And so he says, well, does he have any priors? And the bud says no. Later on, looking into it, he sees that this kid has been picked up many times, and his father has sprung him out many times, and this is not a teenager, and this is drug related. And so he tries to share with him his philosophy of parenting, that this is not helping. You keep springing him, and he's never learning responsibility. He needs to face up to the fact that he has a drug problem, and that if he doesn't deal with it, he's going to be in prison and stop. And so he has used tough love on a large family who has come out well, but his bud doesn't receive it and says, no, I will do anything to help my kid. And the police commissioner says, this is not helping. And then his bud says, now we're talking about men clearly in the 50s, right? Who have grown heavy and are supposed to be mature. And so this bud says, don't judge me for how I try to help my kid. And you think, that's a very, yeah, he obviously, given what you know as a watcher, as a viewer, the police commissioner's right, knowing all the personalities, but you know how common a retort that is. But then you realize, wait, this doesn't look right. That's something that somebody younger would say. Somebody who's 50 would never say that. Would never say, don't judge me. Yeah, but everybody under 30 says that like all of the time. So it's no wonder that we have an increasing level of problems proliferating, because we are insulating ourselves from good ideas. And in fact, we are embracing, as if they were professionally well, they are professionally fomented, but we are embracing them as correct answers, answers that are absolutely diametrically opposed to the right way. And since I've embarked on that, let me tell you, I met this lovely, lovely young woman who is a business consultant, anyway, and she has a podcast called Unbecoming, because she wants to get rid of the shoulds. In business, you get rid of the shoulds. Well, what's right about what she's saying is that if you are a solopreneur, going with your passions and becoming vulnerable and letting people know your personality and your passions might be a good marketing technique. That's true. But of course, you can't just eject all shoulds, like not follow the law, don't do best practices, you know, forget accounting. Obviously not. And I don't know if she knows that unbecoming, oh, honey, that's unbecoming, is what an aristocratic mother would say to her daughter about this is not appropriate behavior. She's trying to be kind. She's saying, look, you're a lovely girl, but this behavior is ugly. That's what unbecoming means. I don't know if the young woman knows that. But maybe she does. And so here is somebody who knows about marketing, is brilliant and beautiful and lovely and socially and has good looks too. But this is what she thinks will sell, and she might be right. Okay, so let's don't act in an unbecoming fashion, and let's don't adopt the idea that we can simply pitch to our lower selves, that we can placate our flesh, is what we would say, those of us who know the Bible, placate our flesh. Like, if you are sad and you medicate it by drugs, you're likely to find yourself with more things to be sad about. If you are discouraged and you medicate it with laying around watching television and eating bonbons, you're not going to find something to celebrate in your achievement. Do you understand what I say? And so, similarly, we need to manage ourselves, yes, by embracing shoulds, loving them, bringing them to us, becoming in love with discipline, because there is either the pain of discipline or there is the pain of lack of achievement, at the very least. And so let us marshal our resources and march ourselves toward doing the right thing. And similarly, that is how to behave in the face of a discouraging, saddening, and very depressing set of circumstances. And I don't care who is responsible for the circumstances, we are the only people who can't respond. And we need to live like that and be grandmothers in Israel, leaders in our own lives. And we need to teach this to our children. And no more importantly, no place is it more important than with a child with learning problems. They've got difficulties that they have to face every day. And if they don't have the self-application, they could very well be sunk. If they don't have the social skills, they are going to have a much more difficult time. And before social skills comes the internal social skill of marshaling oneself to find a way to be cheerful when cheerful is required. Find a way, make it even a habit to be disciplined when discipline is required. So it may be more difficult for them to write down their homework, put it in their folder and bring it home. But they have to be more disciplined. Make a foolproof, this is just an example, foolproof method that it always gets written down, always gets put in the same folder, always comes home. So it's there because it's more difficult, then there has to be more discipline. and not less, and not self-talk of I'm not able and it's somebody else's fault and responsibility. You see, that's exactly the wrong direction. And not sitting on the couch saying, oh, I can never do schoolwork. Ah. No, you have to have more self-application, more discipline, more cheerfulness to find the way to get what needs to be done done. Yes? Yes. Okay, so busting the depression myths, overcoming the real challenges of life. And next time, more on this. Thank you so much for coming. Please leave me a like on iTunes. Leave me comments on the website, greatshalom.org. And please get the word out. I think I've done poor branding here. People within certain faith groups know what Great Shalom means, and I can say Isaiah 54:13, and they know it. But people who simply are facing learning disabilities and don't have that background may not find me. So please, please share it with people who need it. We need to raise a standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. And we've got it. We've got a flood of bad advice, taking people down into misery, into prison, and into hell. We can fix that with a good word if they don't insulate themselves. Okay? So be blessed, be prospered. God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.